we are now going to move on to our second feature. There is no author credited with this feature. It summarises the work of the Home Guard in the Norfolk Broads during the Second World War and refers to the little-known role of the Swamp Commandos. Maggie Secker will tell us more.
The Home Guard on the Norfolk Broads during the Second World War played a vital role in defending a region considered especially vulnerable in invasion. The Norfolk coast, with its wide open and gentle sloping beaches alongside the Broads' extensive network of rivers, lakes and marshes, was seen as a potential landing site for enemy forces, particularly via airborne or seaborne assault. The Home Guard was formed in 1940. Originally called the Local Defence Volunteers, and famously portrayed by the beloved TV series Dad's Army, filmed in Norfolk, it was mainly composed of men who were too old, too young, or otherwise ineligible for regular military service. They were tasked with defending Britain in the event of invasion, particularly in rural and strategically important areas. In the early years of the Second World War, the threat of German invasion was very real. Britain's eastern coastline was widely regarded as the most likely point of attack, with East Anglia in particular considered highly vulnerable. A vast network of coastal and inland defences was created to destroy or at least slow any invasion attempt. The sheer scale of the defences was staggering, especially considering that similar fortifications were replicated around the entire British Isles. The Norfolk and Suffolk Broads formed a crucial part of these defensive plans. In Ludham, for example, the army began constructing a camp in 1939. The first bombs fell on the village in 1940. RAF Ludham Airfield was built during 1941 as a satellite to RAF Coltishall and was initially home to Spitfires. The Ludham Home Guard numbered around 80 volunteers. At the outbreak of war in September 1939, a rapid programme began to build pillboxes, anti-tank blocks, traps, roadblocks, gun emplacements, barbed wire barriers, and slit trenches along the coastline and further inland. If enemy forces managed to penetrate coastal defences, towns and villages were the next line of defence. Major roads, rail lines and rivers were obvious routes of attack. By mid-1940, the UK was prepared for invasion. Over the following year, defences were strengthened further as new strategies and weaponry developed. Towns, villages and strategic points were categorised based on the importance of their transport and communication links. The Broads are flat, waterlogged and often inaccessible by road. This made conventional military defence strategies impractical, especially during the early years of the war, when invasion was a real concern. To respond, Home Guard units and associated auxiliary forces turned to the water for mobility, stealth and advantage. The Broads presented several military challenges. The flat, open terrain was ideal for glider landings. Navigable waterways could be used by enemy craft to penetrate inland. A sparse population made monitoring movements difficult. As a result, this region received special defensive attention. A specialist unit, the Broads Flotilla, was set up with its base at Wroxham. The Home Guard monitored key waterways and bridges, particularly where boats could land or vehicles could cross. They patrolled rivers such as the Bure, Yare, Ant and Waveney, using boats of every kind from wherries to canoes, including motor launches from private owners or hire fleets. Patrols operated primarily at night, moving silently through reed beds, watching for signs of enemy infiltration or sabotage. Canoes and flat-bottomed punts allowed access to very shallow or hidden channels inaccessible by foot. Boats were often camouflaged with reeds, paint or netting to blend into natural surroundings. Some were equipped with concealed weapons such as Lewis guns or rifles. Larger boats or commandeered pleasure cruisers were sometimes repurposed as floating observation posts or mobile headquarters. Some were equipped with radio gear, map tables and field supplies. The extremely limited number of bridges over the rivers in Broadland at Acle, Ludham, Potterheim and Wroxham made them of strategic importance. Units receiving training in laying underwater charges, blocking waterways and preparing to demolish bridges or locks to slow an invading force. Explosive charges were also planned for key drainage mills, river crossings and sluices to flood or deny access to strategic areas. Boats were hidden or immobilised to prevent enemy use, and some waterway sections were blocked with sunken boats or chains. The flat landscape was also used for decoy airfields and lighting schemes designed to mislead German bombers. Some Home Guard members were trained in guerrilla tactics and sabotage, especially in the event of a successful invasion. The Swamp Commandos was an informal nickname for Home Guard units stationed around the Norfolk Broads during the Second World War. In this unique geography, conventional military tactics had limited use. The local Home Guard units adapted accordingly, creating swamp-based guerrilla-style defence force. The Swamp Commandos trained in sabotage, ambush and irregular warfare similar to commandos. Their focus was on hit-and-run tactics to disrupt enemy logistics if German forces landed on the East Anglian coast and tried to push inland through the Broads. They trained with explosives and used booby traps to sabotage bridges or canal locks, vital choke points to slow down an advancing enemy. Many members were locals, fishermen, reed cutters and others, intimately familiar with the difficult terrain. Their ability to move silently through the complex rivers, dikes and marshy land gave them a tactical advantage. One of the best-kept secrets of the Second World War was the existence of the British Resistant Units, Auxiliary Units, AUs as they were later named. Some members of the Home Guard may have been in contact with or inspired by this secret resistance organisation, formed to operate behind enemy lines in the event of invasion. Although the AUs operated under strict secrecy, there is evidence of some coordination. Some boats were possibly designed for evasion, escape or hit-and-run raids from hidden hideouts. These highly trained secret units would go to ground if Germany invaded and operated from concealed underground operational bases. Locally, OBs are known to have been in Ludham, Neatishead, Wroxham, Hoveton and Mortby. The AU mission included sabotage, assassination of collaborators and ambushing supply lines. They operated undercover. Even local Home Guard leadership often did not know of their existence. Some local accounts suggest Home Guard patrols were aware of certain hideouts or had off-the-record orders to avoid specific areas, almost certainly where AU hideouts existed. While technically part of the Home Guard, many waterborne units operated semi-independently, often led by locals with deep knowledge of the Broads. Naval or army liaison officers sometimes advised on tactics and supplied limited equipment. Defence of the Broads was part of a broader plan to create a stop line, a last-ditch inland defensive barrier should coastal defences be breached. Home Guard water units were essential to defending or sabotaging crossings and navigation routes enemy forces might use. Although the Home Guard never saw combat in Norfolk, their presence was a key part of Britain's layered defence strategy. Today, some of their activities are documented in local museums and historical societies, including the Museum of the Broads in Stalham, The Ludham Archive is also a great source of fascinating history data about the village and its wartime activities.
Thank you, Maggie.